We're in a series called Word Power. And the fact is that our words have power. Our words make a difference. What we say makes a difference. The verse printed on the front of our bulletin says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And that's the theme of our series, is that our tongue, our words, our mouths, our language makes a difference. They're not just benign noises that we're making. When we are speaking words, we are speaking either life over our loved ones, into our family, into our home, into our community, into our workplace, or we're speaking death, and even into our own hearts. Okay? The tongue has that kind of power. And so we need to really be aware of how we're speaking, of what we're saying, and how we are communicating and what we are conveying. We gotta be careful of every word that we say. The Bible says every careless word will come under God's judgment. And James says that out of the same spring comes fresh water and salt water. Out of the same spring comes praises to God and curses to our brother or to our fellow man. And he says this should not be. We need to watch our words because we are forming. I tell you what, and I said this the first week, I can tell by listening to you talk, and you can tell by listening to me talk, on what trajectory my life is on. You can tell by the way people talk. You just talk to them for long enough, and you kind of get an idea of the trajectory that their life is on. And are they hitting dead ends? Are they mysteriously finding life frustrating? Are they moving forward? Is there joy? Is there fulfillment? Is there peace? For the next 3 weeks, last couple of weeks, we've been talking about those themes. And last week I talked about idolatry and how the idols that our heart is turning to fills us up with certain ways, and out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, "How I talk reveals the condition of my heart, which reveals the idols that I'm still kind of hanging on to." And we're going to talk about that again here a little bit. But this week, next week, and the next week, I want to talk about categories of speech that we run into and that we all deal with. And today I want to talk about honesty and speaking truthfully and telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So today's message, you could call it the best policy. And what's the best policy? Honesty is the best policy. It's the old saying. And we live in a culture that needs truth. We need honesty. Especially during an election year. It'd be just nice to hear somebody actually tell the truth, right? And make good on a promise. Okay? It's like, tell me the truth. Tell me what's really real. Don't feed me lies. Stop feeding us lies. Stop just defending yourself. Stop playing the CY, cover your R, rear end. What's that? CYA? I'm not sure what that is. And, I lied. Because I do know what that is. But that's the culture, the atmosphere. It's like the truth isn't valued very much. And honesty isn't valued very much. Just say whatever you need to say to get by. That's what seems to be the thing. There was a letter that was written to the IRS that said, "Dear IRS, enclosed, please find a check for $150. Last year, I cheated on my taxes, and I haven't been able to sleep ever since then." He says, "If I continue not to be able to sleep, I'll send the rest of what I owe you." Signed, a taxpayer. It's like, so true. Living in this society, it's like, tell me the truth. Be honest. Have integrity. Don't trade your integrity for a few measly dollars. There was a pastor and his wife who were getting some work done on their house, and the people came in, they were getting the work done on the house, and he says, now, how much do I owe you? And he says, you owe me this much. And he goes, oh man, we're not going to be able to cover that right away. Will you take a credit card? And because we can pay for it over time, but not today, we'll have to put it on a credit card. And the guy goes, well, I tell you what, if you just pay me cash, we can save the tax. And the pastor's wife said to him, I'm not trading my integrity for $100. Integrity. Your integrity will speak for you. One time the Port Authority in New York City put out an ad in the paper. They just wanted to see how many people would be honest. And they put an ad out there. It was a help wanted ad in the paper calling for electricians who have experience with Sontag connectors, like a brand name, Sontag connectors. They got 170 recipients saying, yes, here's my resume. Look, I've got experience with Sontag connectors. Come to find out there's no such thing as Sontag connectors. They made it up. But yet they got 170 people who have experience with it. Lincoln said, the reason I don't lie is because I have a terrible memory. Because that's what happens. If I start telling a lie, then I have to remember, what was the story again? What was I telling these people? Proverbs 6 says this, there are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Those are six things that God hates. Three of them have to do with our tongue. Two of them have to do with lying. They are detestable to him, it says. They are, the King James uses the word abomination. They are an abomination. Everywhere that God talks about lying, he calls it an abomination or something that's detestable to him. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. You want to be God's delight? You want God to delight in you? Be trustworthy. Let your word be your bond. Okay? Detest means an abomination. The Hebrew word is to'eba, means disgusting, abominable, abhorrent. It's used especially in regard to the worship of idols. You will find certain things in the Bible that have it connected to it, the word abomination. The worship of idols was an abomination to God. Why? Because, well, for one thing, God is God, there is no other. Okay? To worship anything lower than God cheapens you. Okay? Because you were created in the image of a transcendent God, not in the image of some created thing. Alright? But another reason it's abhorrent is because a lot of those idols that they were worshiping demanded child sacrifice, passing their children through the fire. That's what that means. They're not just passing them through like burning, getting a little singe on their hair. Okay? A lot of those idol worship rituals involved temple prostitution. So this is detestable to me. This is an abomination. You know what else is an abomination? Lying. It's like, wow, God. You know, we tell little white lies in church sometimes. Like, what's your church attendance over there at Word of Hope? Oh, you know, probably around 100, 80, 100. You know what God calls that? Lying. Okay. If you want to know the real number, I'll tell you later. Like the little Sunday school girl was in the Sunday school class. And the teacher said, what is a lie? What is lying? And the little girl says, it's an abomination to God and a very present help in time of trouble. Like, you get the feeling that God feels strongly about this. He feels just as strongly about lying lips as he does about worshiping idols, and there's good reason for it. We learned last week that what comes out of our mouths reflects something that's in our heart. And so over here, I was trying to draw a mouth, and there's a big fat lip, and there's a lip, and there's some teeth, and teeth, and there's that floppy thing that's back there. Okay. And then we had the heart. That's easier. And Jesus said, what's in the heart is what comes out of the mouth. And if lying is coming out of our mouth, that means there's something in our heart that's causing that, and that means our heart is turned toward an idol. And there could be a number of idols, but my heart gets turned toward an idol, and that fills my heart with something bad or evil, and out of my mouth comes something bad or evil. It's that idol stuff. If there's bad stuff in my heart, it means my heart is still toward that kind of idol, and I'm seeking satisfaction. What is an idol? An idol is anything that I put above God in my life. Anything that I consider to be actually a little bit more important than God. Anything that I feel like is a little more worthwhile than following God or doing it God's way or obeying God, that's an idol. Anything that I feel like is going to give me more pleasure, more fulfillment, anything that I get my fulfillment from, that's not God. That's an idol. Now that sets the bar pretty low for qualifying as an idol. But we have idols all over the place. We live in a land of idolatry. We really do. And so our idol is going to fill our hearts with certain things, and out of our mouths will come perhaps lies or some other kind of language. So why do people lie? What is going on inside the heart that makes me feel like I need to lie? In fact, let me just ask this question classroom style. Give me some answers. Why do people lie? What do you think? Fear. What are we afraid of? Afraid of what? I'm afraid of people knowing the truth. Why? Why am I afraid of people knowing the truth? Shame? I'll be ashamed of them knowing the truth? Why do people lie? What are we afraid of? It is fear. The number one reason why people lie is fear. That's it. You nail it right on the head, right off the bat. They want to hide something. I'm afraid of being found out. Because I'll be ashamed. Or they'll be angry. Or they'll be hurt. Or I'm afraid that people won't think I'm cool. Okay? So I tell them, yeah, I grew up in, I lived in Jamaica. I did. Yeah, Montego Bay, I lived there. A whole week. On a mission trip. I'm afraid people won't think I'm cool. I'm afraid of rejection. If I tell you really about myself, I'm afraid you won't accept me. I'm afraid of not getting what I want. What do I want? Well, I want to be elected. What do I want? Well, I want what I want, and I want it when I want it. So what are the idols, then, that we are holding on to? These idols, there might be different kinds that could all be related to this. One idol might be status. Status, my reputation, my sense of prominence, my importance, my ego, my glory. I want glory, and that's an idol to me. This is the glory idol. There he shines. Okay? And I want people to see me a certain way. And I value people's applause and their approval. This is good. This is good preacher stuff. Applause. How do you spell that? Is there two P's? Yes. I love it. Two P's. Applause. Approval. How do you spell that? Is it two P's? Let's just pretend there it is. And then, and their appreciation. How do you like that? Okay, well, whatever. I want their applause or approval or appreciation. You'll never forget that now because I alliterated. And when my reputation, my status, or my ego is at risk, when it appears that I might not get the approval, the appreciation, the applause that I'm really wanting and seeking, fear comes in, and I lie. I did not have sex with that woman. If you like your insurance plan, you can keep your insurance plan. Sorry. I just started to get political. Some of you are too young to remember. Well, you know, Clinton. Okay. And then Obama. And then there were plenty of other people lying in political office. But I want the status. I want a reputation. I have an ego to protect. I want glory. I want you to look at me in a certain way. Another idol would be myself wants. Self wants. I want what I want, and I want it now. Many times we will lie because I want it now. What is it? Well, I want my safety, or I want the sale, or I want the client, or I want to get out of the hot seat, or I need your attention, or I want cash, or I want applause, or I want instant peace and calm without having to deal with the truth, going through the storm of the truth. And so a lot of times I just want what I want, so I'll lie to get it. I want the promotion. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, you pretty much have to cheat and lie on the forms in order to get anywhere in this company? You just have to tell them what they want to hear. God calls it lying, and it's an abomination. I'll tell you why here in a minute. Some depths of that. Another idol is control. I mean, really? If I don't have control, I get very afraid. Some of us are control freaks. And why are we freaks about control? Because we have a high need for it. And if I don't have it, I get nervous. And I get afraid. And so I try to control, and I see this a lot in relationships. I try to control how others respond to me. And so I'm going to try to manipulate their emotions in the sense that I'm going to try to control their emotional response toward me. I don't want them to get angry. And I would rather lie to them than tell them the truth and have them get angry at me. Okay? I don't want them to blame me. I want to control the blaming. I want to control their judging of me. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to hurt them. And so we never learn, and this is what I find out. People who have turned to lying in order to control the emotions of a loved one has never learned how to deal with other people's hurt, blame, judgment, anger, negative emotions. If I don't learn how to deal with the negative emotions that other people have, then I'm always going to try to take shortcuts and get around it. And I'm going to hide stuff, and I'm going to tell half-truths. There was a movie, a line from a movie. I've never seen the movie, but I read the line. The girlfriend walks into the restaurant and sees her boyfriend with another woman. And he sees her, and she gets angry, and she storms out, and he gets up and chases after her, and says, "I can't believe you've been lying to me all this time." And he goes, "I've always told you a version of the truth." She goes, "Truth doesn't have versions. The truth is just the truth. There's no version of the truth." Okay? We never, and so folks who have always tried to take these shortcuts and these lies and work around has never learned to deal with other people's negative emotions by just being truthful and trusting God for the outcome. So we try to take over the control of the situation through lies. I don't want her to know how much I'm spending because she will get angry, so I'll use cash and throw away the receipts. I don't want him to know that I was talking to his ex because he will be hurt, so I'll say it was my friend from work. I don't want her to know that I'm still smoking because she will judge me and say that, and so I'll say I gave Bob a ride. You know how much he smokes. That's why you smell it. The most common lies that we tell are told to protect ourselves from another person's emotions toward us. So we lie in order to control their emotions. It's a manipulation. And controlling others is an idol. Jesus' way is to live right, tell the truth, and let the chips fall where they may, and trust God for the outcome. Now, I ask you to to open up to Genesis 30, and I want you to look at the story of Jacob. Jacob, in the Bible, was a deceiver. He had the reputation of being a deceiver. And the big deceiving moment was where he deceived his father Isaac and tricked him into thinking that Jacob wasn't Jacob. Jacob was Esau. Isaac was old and had a hard time hearing and seeing, and so he went into him in his deathbed and pretended to be Esau, the older brother, and he said, "Now bless me and give me my birthright." Now the birthright of the older brother was 2/3 of the inheritance. Okay, so the older brother gets 2/3, the younger brother, everybody else gets to split the rest. All right? And if there's two brothers, the younger brother gets 1/3. And there were two brothers in this case. And so he wanted 2/3. He wanted what he wanted. And he was afraid he wasn't going to get it, so he lied. Okay? And at the prompting of his mom, it's like family dynamics, I tell you, there's so much dysfunction in the book of Genesis. And if you want to read about dysfunctional families, the God just puts it out there. Just like the truth is the truth. This is what happened. Okay, he doesn't recommend it, but it's there as an illustration of what not to do. And so Jacob deceived his father and cheated his brother. And as because of his lies, he had to flee home because he was afraid Esau was going to kill him now. And so he went far away to the land of his uncle Laban, and he found that Laban was an even bigger liar and deceiver than himself. So the deceiver was deceived. It's like there might be a principle there. Be careful. And so he ended up working for Laban for 7 years to have the hand of Rachel in marriage. And at the end of the 7 years, they had their wedding night, and she must have had on a heavy veil on the wedding day. And they went into the wedding chamber, and the wedding chamber must have been especially dark, because when he woke up the next morning, it wasn't Rachel. It was Leah, her older sister. There's something about brothers and sisters going on here. And it was Leah sitting next to him, and the deceiver was deceived. So he had to work another 7 years to have Rachel. And so Jacob really met his match with Laban as far as the deception game goes. But somewhere along the line, Jacob learned about the cost of lying and how much damage it does, because he stopped his deceptive ways. And we come to Genesis 30, verse 25 says this. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so I can go back to my homeland." You know, he finally finished his 14-year stint with Laban, working for him, increasing his flocks. He says, "Now I want to go and make my own way, okay? Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you." But Laban said to him, "If I found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages, and I will pay them." Jacob said to him, You know how I have worked for you and how your livestock have fared under my care. And he says, "The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household?" "What shall I give you?" Laban asked. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied, "but if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them." So he's going to cut a deal. "Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages." Now get this line right here, this next verse. "And my honesty will testify for me in the future." My honesty will testify for me in the future. I want to write that up here. If you're taking notes, this is a good verse to memorize. My honesty will testify for me in the future. That's the verse. What's he saying? He's saying my integrity, my truth-telling, that will answer for me in the future. That will bear witness for me. My integrity, my honesty, my truthfulness to you will be my character witness. If Jacob had continued on in his ways of lying and deceiving, like he had with his brother and his father, the way Laban had done to him, then these words would have been empty and meaningless. It says, let my integrity. And he even went further. He said, whenever you check on the wages that you've paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark colored, will be considered stolen. He says, my integrity will speak for me. How many of us could say that? I hope all of us could say that. That my integrity is going to speak for me. My honesty, my honest words are going to speak for me in the future. If there ever comes a doubt and people look at me, I hope you're able to say this, people look at me, they'll say, well, I'm sure he's telling the truth, because he's always told the truth. Even when it's hurt, he's told the truth. And so, let me give you a couple of points out of this little verse here to take home with you. First of all, truth always wins in the end. Always wins in the end. What did he say? My honesty will testify for me in the future. Not always immediately. Okay? Truth doesn't always win immediately, whatever your definition of winning is. Okay? It doesn't always work out really well for me the way I wanted it to when I tell the truth in the immediate time. When you tell the truth, there may be negative consequences. Okay? That you have to deal with. You may have to deal with somebody's disapproval. You tell the truth, they may disapprove of what it is you're telling them. You may have to deal with somebody's rejection. You tell them the truth and they reject you. They turn you down. You may have to deal with somebody's anger or their blame or their judgment or their hurt. But honesty is always the best policy. The only way to be trusted in the long run is to tell the truth in the short run. The only way to build a genuine and strong relationship with somebody in the long run is to tell the truth and be honest in the here and now. There was a man who was hiding money from his wife in order to have it for something important. They had a goal. Actually, it was something like a medical procedure. They needed money for that. And so he was hiding money in a separate account that she wouldn't know about, so that, because he was afraid they wouldn't have the money. So he was putting it in this account to make sure that they would have enough money for this medical thing. And what it came down to is he didn't trust her to not just spend it or to give it to the kids or something like that. And so he was putting money in a secret account. Well, of course, she realized that money was missing. And so she asked him about it. And he says, well, I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know where it's at. Maybe we spent it, you know, we kind of this and that and that and kind of like that. Well, let me see the checkbooks. I haven't really updated it in forever. You know, I don't know. I don't know where the money is. Gee, what did we do with it? You know, we kind of spent it here and there. And he was afraid that if he told her the truth, that she would be hurt and angry, which is true. Because he wasn't trusting her. And maybe she had a history. Maybe she couldn't be trusted in that area. I don't know. But he was hiding it from her. And so she would have been hurt. She would have been angry. But because he lied and he hid money, she now knew that he was a liar. And she started to suspect that something more was going on. And she thought, does he have a gambling problem? Is he spending it on hookers? Is he having an affair? Is there another woman? I mean, it just grew from there. Because she couldn't trust him. She found out he lies to her and hides all this money. It's missing. He still hadn't come clean about the account. Even when the truth came out, though, she couldn't believe it. Well, you're saving up money to leave me. She couldn't trust him. And she was convinced that he was up to no good. This man ended up with way more problems than he would have had if he had just told the truth and took the hurt and anger to begin with. It would have been way better. Jacob said, "My honesty will answer for me in the future." So often we exchange long-term integrity for short-term gains, and we always lose bigger than the little loss we would have had if we had been upfront, forthright in the first place. Second point I just want to give to you here is there's protection that comes with integrity. I'm going to show you this in another verse. Comes with integrity. When the truth is told, there's protection. Because God is truth, get this, because God is truth, He can only be where there's truth. And where there's dishonesty, God cannot be there honoring and blessing that. Okay? Put these thoughts together. When you begin to exaggerate and tell lies, then you're going to have to depend on your lies, not God. You can't depend on God. He's not going to defend you in a lie. He's not going to be looking out. He's not going to be having your back. He said, "You're telling lies? You depend on your lies. You've got a shield of lies, not a shield of faith. You depend on that." God can only dwell where there's truth. And if there's not truth, then God is like, "Now you're on your own. Let your lie protect you. Let your exaggeration protect you. Let your misinformation and half-truths protect you." Okay? Because God is truth, He can't protect a lie. It's not in His nature or His character. And so if we use a lie to protect ourselves, to make myself better than I look, better than I am, or to gain some kind of advantage, then lies become my shield, not faith, not Jesus. And you'll exaggerate, and I'll start to exaggerate every story to gain applause and shade every negative truth to cast myself in a better light and leave out certain facts in every situation in order to protect myself from criticism, castigation, or negative fallout. And what we're doing when we do that is sabotaging God's protection in my life, because now I have to depend on my lies, my half-truths, my hidden facts to be my protection. God cannot bless what is not true. Proverbs 2:7 says this: "He holds," God holds success in store for the upright. "He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless." God holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He is a shield to those who have integrity. God says, I can protect truth, but when you lie, you're on your own. Your honesty in the small details will tell if you'll be honest with the big things. If we decide we want it now, and we use a lie to get it, and we're not willing to wait for God's later provision, we find ourselves in a position where we have to depend on that lie to protect us. And nothing is safe in the hands of a lie. That's worth writing down. I like that one. Nothing is safe hands of a lie. I was working with a couple one time, and it was rocky, it was hard, but then all of a sudden she said, "I want to come in for a one-on-one session, because I'm kicking them out. I don't want them around anymore." And so she came in. I said, "Well, what's going on?" She goes, "Well, I found out that he has 3 children from 3 other women." And I'm just like, someone will lie about their past to win someone's heart. And nothing is ever safe in the hands of a lie. You'll end up losing that. That one's pretty extreme. In order for a relationship to work, there has to be truth and honesty. If your partner, your boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse has learned by experience that sometimes you lie in order to get by, they're going to wonder how much are you lying to them. They'll not be able to trust their heart to you. Intimacy will be cut out. There will be no true intimacy in that relationship. When the truth, if the truth is that you did something wrong, you made a mistake, just own up to it. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. We all sin, sometimes heinously. But if I lie about it, I'm not going to get away with it forever. And it will compound it. It will compound the severity of what I did. If I tell the truth, and I'm upfront and forthright, I'll take my beating or my bruises or whatever it is, but we can work through it because we have a foundation of truth that we can build on now. Okay? Because how many times have you had this experience? Somebody tells you something bad that happened. Well, I did this. I drank all the milk. There you go. It's like, oh, I needed that milk. I was making cookies. But at least you were honest. Now, if you lied about it and said, I didn't drink all the milk, I don't know what you did with it, or the kids did it, or whatever, and then I found out, yes, it was you, things would be 100 times worse. Okay? How many times have you had somebody say, or you have said to somebody, well, at least you're honest. I appreciate you being honest. Because that means everything. That's the basis. Okay? If it's not true that you did something wrong, let your honesty answer for you later. Let your honesty, your truth, your integrity be your character witness to answer for you, to testify for you in the future. Believe God to cover you. Tell the truth and believe God to cover you. Because the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you love truth, if you love honesty, if you love integrity, you will eat the fruit of that integrity in the long run. Okay? Your character will shine forth like the light of dawn. Stand together. Heavenly Father, come on. And Father, we thank you, God, so much for your goodness to us. We thank you that Jesus is the truth. He is the way, He is the life. And help us, Father, to walk in the way of Jesus and to, with His life living inside of us, that we emanate that. And we're just honest. We're just real. We're just truthful, because otherwise we're speaking death over our lives. And I don't want that for anybody here. I don't want that for my own life. So I pray, Father, that we would be people of integrity, people of truth, and people of honor. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your forgiveness. I thank you, Father, that if any of us have shaded the truth or hidden things or held back, not been forthcoming, telling half-truths, we thank you, God, that there is grace at the cross, and we can be forgiven. Help us, Father, to be honest with one another, to build true strength in our relationships and trust and intimacy. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.